You know, last week was Pentecost. We celebrated Pentecost, or the birthday of the church, as we commonly think about it. But more importantly, we want to look at the work of the Holy Spirit. This particular Sunday on the church calendar, we celebrate a thing called Trinity Sunday. And it's celebrating that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And my scripture text this week comes from John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, red letter edition, Jesus is speaking. Oh, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't hear it now or bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting His own ideas. He will be telling you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever He receives from me. All that the Father has is mine, and this is what I mean when I say that the Spirit will reveal to you whatever He receives from me. May God add the blessings to the hearing and the healing too, maybe, but the hearing of His holy and precious word. You can handle it. That's what I titled my message today. And if you think about when Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" Well, Pilate couldn't handle it either. But I was running across a film that was made in 1992, and it was based on Aaron Sorkin's 1989 play entitled A Few Good Men. Now, I heard this term, but I wasn't really sure where it came from, and it did come from that scene in that movie, and it was a military court that was going on, and it was really getting dicey. As if you've seen the movie or even watched some of the clips that you can find on Google YouTube. It's amazing the technology that we have, because if I did see this movie back in 1992, I didn't remember much about it. But during the interrogation and the things that was going on with the trial, the prosecutor was drilling the guy that was on trial and to try to come to the truth. And he said to the fella, "You know, you this and that, did you do this and all that? Did you admit to giving this order?" And the guy, the colonel, says, "You want the truth? You can handle the truth." Wow. With horror, those in the courtroom realized the true paradox. Military people, men who are taught to blindly obey commands, may override their basest human instinct to protect and to spare a peer that's in danger of losing his life. Now, not all truth that we face instill horror in our society, but still, truth can harm more than it can heal when administered in the wrong way or at the end of the wrong time. Now, I come up with a little thing, and again, if it's original, I take credit for it, but I don't know. I might have heard it somewhere over the years. But I always say that the only time the truth hurts is when you're not in harmony with the truth. Amen. Now, I think all of us know about truth and how truth can hurt and words can hurt and different things like that. But us men, do we really want to tell our wife or our girlfriend that her new dress doesn't inspire you and you see the excitement in her eyes as she comes bouncing out, "Hey, look what I just got"? Women, do you really want to tell your guy whom you love, no matter what his eating habits might annoy you? You know, that's a thing. Judy's always picking on me about my eating habits. And we have come to a good arrangement in our relationship that I want her to tell me the truth. You know what I mean? Even if it doesn't it might hit me right, and I think, oh, yeah, well, she's right. I'm a sloppy eater. Or do you really want to tell your five-year-old all about the devastations of a recent tragedy like in Eudela, Texas, or in Buffalo, New York, or all the things that you see on television? Or do you really want to tell them the truth about Santa Claus when they are 2 or 3 years old? I think we all understand that truth deserves a proper time and a proper place and a desired context. This is what we call truth timing. It's important to the nurturing of our relationship in our own lives and our relationship with others. You know, likewise, we as Protestants believe that young people should go through a time of confirmation of their faith. Unfortunately, we don't do that much anymore in the church, but I participated in and led a lot of confirmation services for young people over the years that I've been in the ministry. And why do we do it? We believe that when they are 1 year old, and I've done a lot of infant baptisms, they just aren't ready to fully understand the truth of the gospel or make a commitment or commit to others or making a commitment on their behalf as we go through the rituals. We need to be prepared. We need mature. We need to be ready to hear these certain truths in life. And it doesn't make the truth any less true. But what it does, it makes us vastly more ready to accept it and commit to it, especially if the truths we do not want to hear. Those who are chaplains or doctors or healthcare professionals know what it means to have someone tell them the truth or even come in and explain to them, in our medical opinion, we think you need to go home and get your stuff in order because you have 6 months to live. Now, those who are industry professionals sometimes need to tell someone that their skill set just doesn't match the position they applied for. Well, these truths are hard, and we all want to know the truth. I can handle the truth. Tell me the truth. We want to know that telling them when we are ready or ready enough to handle it. Sometimes we procrastinate on telling somebody the truth because we don't know if they can handle it or we can handle it. But it's no mistake that in Scripture, Jesus gradually dishes out bits and pieces of the truth of His mission, of God's plan for humanity, about His identity and about what is to happen. If He had told them everything from the outset, no doubt they would be thinking, well, I don't know. I want to go back and go what I'm doing, and I don't think I want to get involved with this guy, you know. They might say, well, this guy's crazy, muttering under their breath, of course. But Jesus knew the importance of timing. How many times in Scriptures can you remember Jesus asking people not to tell about what He had done? You know, don't go and tell anybody that I raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, a lot of those things, I often wondered about, why would He do that? Well, I think it's because it wasn't time for the entire world to know. How many times did He say to His disciples they would understand better after the Holy Spirit had come upon them? Now, Jesus knew how hard it was during the last days to explain what would happen in the days and the weeks and the month to come. Not only for Him, but for His disciples. They were already grieving the loss of their master and friend. Soon He wouldn't be with them, and Jesus knew the hardships that they would have to face. Only after His resurrection appearances into the glorious experience of Pentecost would they truly understand the truth of what He'd been preparing for them and trying to tell them and telling them at the exact right time. He asked them to be patient. He said, literally, He said, I have much more to say to you, but you can't handle it now. However, the Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you in all truth and proclaim to you what is to come. In other words, he's telling us, and he told the disciples, well, because we want to see him return soon. And he's basically telling us, be patient. Trust me. Wait for the Spirit. Then you will see yourselves, which is the truth that I have been telling you about. Then you'll know what to do. Now, the scripture passage for today that I read is short, but it needs to be in context. As you always say, if you take a scripture out of context, then you end up with a pretext. And I always like to do that, but if you read all of John chapter 16, you'll see that Jesus is issuing his disciples a warning. He knows they're going to face fierce opposition as they attempt to seed the gospel to the world and to their colleagues. He knows they will be thrown out of the church or the synagogue at the time. They will have their lives and their livelihoods threatened. They will undergo great adversity. It'll be hard, very, very hard. Jesus can't pile more on them at the moment, although he knows what is to come. They're afraid. They are in mourning even now. They are sad, and they're already floundering and hiding and avoiding the authorities. But they will know soon enough, as the Holy Spirit has given them strength, power, identity, and support of their day of Pentecost. So the question is, why were they feeling impatient? Frightened, maybe? Undoubtedly? Restless, maybe? Probably, and more certainly, they knew they had to face the truth. I don't know about you, but I don't think none of us like swimming in a place between a question and an answer. We hate dwelling in the gray. You know, there's a little bit of gray area. We don't like being in the gray. We want answers in black and white. Even though we can't handle it at times, we like to know what's coming next. The next day, the next month, the next year. We like to know if things will turn out all right. We want to know the truth so that we can plan our direction. But God doesn't always work that way, does he? With life experiences that we all have had, waiting for answers, waiting for God's truth to come to us in God's time. Have you ever said a prayer of petition to God and wondered, why couldn't God answer me immediately? Or answer in the exact way that we hoped for, or the way we planned that he would? Have you ever been angry with God for not doing exactly what you asked for? I know I have. Have you been annoyed with God for leaving you in a place of worry and indecision or the utter unknown when all you want to know is the way forward? You see, God's time is not our time. And God knows we aren't always ready for God's truth. And when we are, God does reveal to us. Jesus does. He appears to us through the grace of the Holy Spirit. He guides us. He teaches us in ways that we need to go. So today's scripture in John 16 reminds us of the importance of faith. The patience is part of having faith. To be patient is to have faith that God will reveal to us Christ's truth for our lives. Or for our hopes and our dreams, even if we can't see no way through it at the moment. Look back on your life, especially if you've been journaling over the years. I'm not a very good journaling person. I do it, but I don't discipline myself to do it. But every once in a while, I will take my journal out and look and see how God has been at work in my life. And some of the things that I was really struggling with, he led me through them. If we can see no way through at the moment, we got to be patient. We got to be patient and know that God's truth will prevail. Even if things seem preposterous or egregious in the current time and the things that we're experiencing in our day and time. And it's a challenge out there today in this old world. I think we all know that. But it all comes down to faith, doesn't it? Where would we be without faith and the promised blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ? Faith in God? Faith in God's timing? Faith in Christ's promise? Looking forward to Him returning someday soon. Faith in the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, my prayer for all of us this week is this, that may God's truth come upon you powerfully and authentically in God's time. In His time, He will reveal the truth to you when you can handle it. What a wonderful, wonderful message. I hope and pray that you're having a good day. Hope and pray you'll see you in church in person sometime. We love seeing you and talking to you, but if you can't come, we're certainly grateful that you tune in to the online message. Have a wonderful day.